Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernoll. The airwaves in Richland Center felt a little more historic today as Senator Sarah Kieske stopped by our studios to honor a monumental milestone in local broadcasting. Phil Nee, the beloved general manager and voice of WRCO, was honored for his remarkable 40-year career of dedicated service to the region. Immediately following her appearance on today's morning show, Senator Kieske presented Phil with a plaque featuring an official certificate of commendation, marking four decades of excellence in broadcasting. For 40 years, Phil has been a cornerstone of the Richland Center community, bringing music, local news, and essential conversations to listeners. Beyond his role as general manager, he remains a fixture in the lives of many through programs like Those Were the Days on Saturday evenings. His career has been defined by his efforts to uplift community members, educators, and local leaders, ensuring that WRCO remains a vital heartbeat for the area. As he celebrates this 40-year anniversary, the certificate from Senator Kieske serves as a formal thank you from a grateful community for his decades of dedication and his unique ability to connect people through the power of radio. Congratulations, Phil Nee. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Jerry Moran, a Republican from Kansas, along with a group of colleagues, have introduced the Supporting Underserved and Strengthening Transparency, Accountability, and Integrity Now, or SUSTAIN 340B Act. This bipartisan legislation seeks to reform the 340B drug pricing program, which provides discounted prescription drugs to healthcare providers serving vulnerable and underserved patients. The act aims to bring greater stability, clarity, and transparency to the program by establishing several key reforms. These include defining eligible patients and covered services, clarifying the use of contract pharmacies, and introducing new annual reporting requirements for covered entities. The legislation also proposes establishing a 340B data clearinghouse to prevent duplicate discounts and diversion, while requiring covered entities to adopt standardized financial assistance policies for patients at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. Furthermore, the bill strengthens program integrity by granting the Department of Health and Human Services authority to enforce compliance and establishes oversight procedures for child sites. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, WATA, has officially unveiled the Folk and Field Maker Farms Digital Passport, a premier mobile initiative designed to bridge the gap between modern travelers and the state's rich artisan traditions. Running from July 30th through December 20th, this curated guide offers a gateway to exclusive hands-on experiences across rural Wisconsin. Travelers can immerse themselves in the authentic crafts that define the region, participating in specialized workshops such as traditional cheesemaking, butchering, tea blending, felting, and flower arranging. Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, emphasizes the cultural significance of this program, noting that while traditional skills often skip a generation, they do not have to be lost. She explains that by registering for these heritage workshops, attendees can reconnect with genuine rural roots and master new crafts directly from local artisans. For WATA, this initiative is about more than just travel. It's a dedicated effort to preserve the hands-on heritage that serves as the foundation of rural communities. To begin their journey, interested participants can sign up for free online at wiagtourism.com/passports. Once the pass is saved to a mobile device, planning a rural adventure becomes seamless. However, because each destination operates independently, WATA advises participants to contact the individual agricultural tourism sites directly to verify specific workshop dates, times, and any associated materials fees. Robin Kelvey and Noah Ryan of Park Ridge Organics in Fond du Lac exemplify the passion and perseverance required for small-scale farming, while simultaneously highlighting the precarious nature of health care for rural agricultural workers. With a combined experience of over 25 years, Robin and Noah understand the deep fulfillment that comes from growing local food for their community. However, their journey also reveals the difficult trade-offs between pursuing a calling and maintaining personal health security. Each year, Robin has a number of employees that assist with production, farm store management, deliveries, and more. This spring, Robin welcomed her brother-in-law, Noah, back to the farm as a full-time employee. In August of 2025, Noah was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, an event Noah felt was a catalyst that pushed him back to the farm for the sake of his quality of life, even if it meant compromising the health insurance benefits that came with his public sector job. The Wisconsin Farmers Union reports statistics show that 14% of Wisconsin farm families lack any health insurance, while 17% have only catastrophic coverage for severe accidents. The situation is even more dire for dairy farmers, with a 41% nationwide lacking coverage. For many, keeping a small farm afloat involves a dangerous balancing act between rising insurance premiums and the necessity of meeting basic operational costs amidst increasing agricultural concentration. A legal challenge to Wisconsin's new online sports betting law. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty has filed a lawsuit challenging the new online sports betting law. The conservative group argues lawmakers exceeded their constitutional authority by legalizing mobile sports wagers placed in Wisconsin and processed on tribal land. The suit, filed on behalf of two taxpayer groups, seeks to block Democratic Governor Tony Evers from implementing tribal gaming compacts due to the law's provisions. Supporters say the law will generate increased revenue for Wisconsin's tribal nations. Critics call it an unconstitutional expansion of gambling. Governor Evers has signed Executive Order No. 302, mandating that the flags of the United States and the state of Wisconsin be flown at half-staff Monday, August 10th. This order is a tribute to the life and service of Eau Claire Fire Department firefighter Bryce A. Youngbluth, who tragically passed away in the line of duty July 31st. Youngbluth, who was only 27 years old, died following a sudden medical emergency. In a statement reflecting on the loss, Governor Evers emphasized Youngbluth's profound commitment to public safety. He noted that the firefighter was dedicated to helping and protecting others throughout his career. The governor and First Lady Kathy Evers shared their deepest condolences with Youngbluth's family, particularly his wife Emma and their 9-month-old son, Hayes. Governor Evers also extended his sympathies to Youngbluth's friends, loved ones, and colleagues at both the Eau Claire Fire Department and the Carborough Fire Rescue Department, remarking that his passing leaves a significant void for all who served alongside him. A native of Hayward, Wisconsin, Youngbluth's career in fire service included 4 years with the Carborough Fire Rescue Department in North Carolina before he returned to Wisconsin to join the Eau Claire Fire Department in June of this year. The state of Wisconsin, alongside the communities of Eau Claire and Hayward, now prepare to mourn the loss of this dedicated public servant. Memorial services for Youngbluth are scheduled for Monday, August 10th in Hayward. Executive Order No. 302 will remain in effect from sunrise to sunset on that day to honor his memory and sacrifice. On Wednesday of this week, SSM Health filed a request for review with the National Labor Relations Board regarding the union election certification for nurses at St. Mary's Hospital. This legal move comes after a landslide victory where 89% of their nurses voted to form a union. In response to the filing, St. Mary's nurse Zach Zahalka, speaking on behalf of St. Mary's Nurses United of SEIU Wisconsin, emphasized that SSM executives should be prioritizing collaboration to address critical issues within the hospital, rather than attempting to undermine the nurses' collective voice. Zahalka highlighted that the hospital is currently facing a crisis characterized by extreme understaffing, burnout, and high turnover. He stated that the clear mandate provided by the lopsided election result should lead directly to the negotiating table to secure a contract focused on urgent improvements in staffing and retention. Instead, nurses have expressed deep disappointment at SSM's decision to pursue a federal review and its continued use of pressure tactics within the facility. According to the statement from the nurses, these tactics have included threatening staff with disciplinary action for union-related activity, as well as the destruction and confiscation of union materials. Union advocates argue that such actions serve only to distract from patient care delivery and increase anxiety among a staff already exhausted by current working conditions. They further noted that these strategies conflict with local values held in Madison and throughout Wisconsin. Despite the ongoing legal challenges and friction, the nurses at St. Mary's are moving forward with surveys to establish their contract priorities. They remain committed to starting the negotiation process, which is legally required, with the goal of raising patient care standards across the entire region. Vital statistics, right after this.